Hello, hello. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. Today, we are on day two of our newsworthy clips, and we once again have Linda and Amanda in the studio with us. How are you ladies today?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, very good.
All right, guys, let's review a little bit about yesterday. What did we talk about yesterday, Linda?
We talked about lying and how small lies can develop or snowball into big lies, and that's due to it can be explained by a process in our brain or a particular region of our brain
right. That
causes this.
Now, this was commonly held wisdom, but nobody had ever studied it before, but neuroscientists recently did some research about that, right? And they found out that there was a part of the brain called the amygdala that the first time you lied or the first time you did something bad, it would light up with emotion. But as time went on, you know, you kind of got used to it and it got dulled and it caused, well, it allowed you for allowed you to do bigger and bigger transgressions.
Right. And the reason this was a big deal is because it was the first study that showed an empirical evidence that dishonest behavior escalates when it's repeated.
Right. All right. We see two funny pictures on that page. What do these two pictures have to do with this article?
Well, the top one is referring to a famous children's story called Pinocchio.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Pinocchio, when he lied, his nose would grow longer.
Right. So that is a reference to that story. And what about the bottom one, Linda?
We see a man with his fingers crossed behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an image, like, you might see this in little children in the West, like if they're telling a lie or a fib, mm-hmm. they'll cross their fingers behind their back, right? Because they know they're telling something, saying something that's not true.
Right.
And so it kind of, I don't know if, you know, the origins of this, but
yeah. It's
about maybe like to protect them, you know?
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
I'm telling a lie and I know it, but, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if it's like you ask me to do something and I promise I'll do it, you know, I'll cross my fingers as a way to be like, you know,
right?
I don't mean it.
Yeah,
know. But you know, verbally, I'm actually, or orally, I'm promising. But you know, I'm actually, my heart, not. You know,
right?
And that crossing of the fingers can also mean just good luck too.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're wishing mm-hmm. for something, can also just represent that.
Right. So, interesting photos there. All right. Well, today we're going to kind of shift gears and talk about a completely different topic, but a very interesting topic nonetheless. Today we're talking about fabric that captures energy to power your electronic devices. Now, this sounds like science fiction, but it's actually reality. So, what are we talking about? Well, let's read our article and find out.
This fabric captures energy to power your electronic devices. A team of scientists led out of the Georgia Institute of Technology has created a fabric that can gather energy from both sunlight and motion, then store it in embedded fibers. The textile could help pave the way for energy harvesting clothes and new wearable devices. Scientists and engineers have been working for years on creating fabrics that, if worn, could harvest energy for the wearer, according to senior author Zhonglin Wang, a nanotechnologist at Georgia Tech. Wang's team, for one, has been working on various aspects of this early-stage technology for 11 years. On top of that, any energy would have to be stored in some way that didn't involve carrying around a bulky battery.
Well, I think, you know, as technology gets more prevalent and more of us carry devices around with us, we're always looking for ways to charge our phones, our tablets, our computers, right?
Right. Nowadays, we try to use what we call, was it power packs?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we take those with us just so that we can keep our phone charged.
Right.
Right. Because we use them so much that the battery depletes pretty quickly.
Yeah. And it's, you know, so often if you don't have one of those battery packs, right, you know, You see people with their cord in their hand and kind of looking down towards the ground, looking for the nearest outlet, right, so that they can plug in their phones. Well, a team of scientists led out of the Georgia Institute of Technology has created something that might be able to help with this problem. What have they created?
It's a fabric that can gather energy from both sunlight and motion and store it in embedded fibers.
Interesting. Well, I mean, this is kind of not necessarily new technology in some ways, right? We've always heard of solar power. Mm-hmm. I mean, solar power has been around for a while. And this idea of gathering energy through motion, that's nothing new either, right? I mean, that's why we have wind energy, we have hydro energy, right? Energy from water, and you also have energy from just, you know, people pedaling, right? And we've talked about harvesting energy from movement before. So these concepts have been around for a while, but the way they're trying to implement these technologies is different. It's done through fabric, right? Now we see in the next paragraph here, the textile could help pave the way for energy harvesting clothes and new wearable devices. Interesting. What are we talking about when we talk about textiles?
Well, this is the material. So we talk about fabric, right? Mm-hmm. But another way to say that is either material or textile.
Right. So we have the textile industry. This is the industry that is in charge of creating cloth, right? Mm-hmm. And all the, and fabric, right? So anything, any clothes that we wear, it starts off from the textile industry. So they're now trying to create this high-tech textile. That's kind of a,
Mouthful,
yeah. A high-tech textile, try saying that five times fast, high-tech textile that could help pave the way for energy harvesting clothes, right? So we see the word harvesting here. When we harvest something, what are we doing?
Gathering.
Mm-hmm. So farmers harvest their crops in the fall, right? They collect, they gather the crops. Here we're talking about harvesting or gathering energy. When we move, anytime we move, we create energy, we release energy. But is there a way to collect that energy and make it, you know, available so we can later charge our devices? So energy harvesting clothes and new wearable devices, right? So, I don't know, things like a watch or, you know, sunglasses, hats, things that, or, you know, even like the Google Glass that people have been talking about. So wearable devices. All right. Now, scientists and engineers have been working for years on creating what, Linda?
Fabrics that if worn, they'd be able to harvest energy for the person wearing it.
Mm-hmm. And this is said by, this is according to senior author Zhongling Wang, who is a nanotechnologist at Georgia Tech. What is a nanotechnologist?
Well, they are a scientist who works at the atom and molecular level. So they work with atoms and molecules to build devices that are extremely small.
Right. So when we're talking about something that's nano, it's really, really tiny, really, really small. Okay. And Wang's team has been working on various aspects of this early stage technology for over a decade, 11 years. And on top of that, any energy would have to be stored in some way that didn't involve carrying around a bulky battery. Why is that so important, Linda?
Well, we want to be free, you know, of like heavy stuff.
Right.
I mean, we want it to be wearable and portable. I mean, we don't want to be weighed down.
Exactly.
Anything heavy.
Right. And so, I mean, if you think of the battery packs now that you were talking about, those portable battery packs.
Right.
They're kind of bulky.
Yeah, they're kind of heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't want to be carrying around a heavy battery pack. So what do you do with all this energy that you're harvesting, right? Where can you store it? So they've got to solve that problem. Well, how did they solve these issues? Let's keep reading and find out.
Wang and his team solved these issues by creating a triple threat, or perhaps a triple thread, fabric. It uses dye-sensitized solar cells shaped into long fibers to harvest light energy. It uses fiber-shaped triboelectric nanogenerators to harvest electrostatic charge made by normal movement. And it also uses fiber-shaped supercapacitors to store the energy in electrochemical form. Currently, the researchers have a roughly 225 square centimeter patch of the energy harvesting fabric. It seems to be roughly as flexible as woven straw. The scientists hope to get it down to the flexibility of common cloth. While the technology could allow users to charge phones and wearable devices, it could also make interactive garments, a gown with LED lights, for example, more feasible for fashion designers. The research could also prove useful for building flexible screens, designing heart and other health monitors, and may even find applications in robotics. Before the technology gets there, however, there's a lot of things to do, Wang said. Number one is to get the fiber thinner, so it's more flexible. Number two is to improve the durability or robustness, so they can last longer. And third is, we have to work on continuing to improve the performance.
All right, I hope you are all strapped in because we have a lot of big words coming up. All right, so we just talked earlier before the reading that they had a problem, right? So they need to figure out a way to collect all this energy that they are harvesting without having wearers carry around this heavy, bulky battery. So how are they solving this issue, Amanda?
Well, they created a triple threat. Well, that's what they call it. And usually a triple threat is something that's got three parts danger to it.
Right. So we talk about a triple threat actor as someone who can act, sing, and dance.
Right.
Right. So someone who can do a lot.
Right. There's three things coming at you, or now they play on words a little bit here in the brackets by saying, or perhaps a triple thread fabric. And that's because fabric is made of a multiple of threads.
Mm-hmm. And what does it use, Linda?
It uses dye-sensitized solar cells that are shaped into long fibers that harvest the light energy.
Wait, what?
I know.
What?
A lot of technical terms in this paragraph, right? So here we're talking about solar cells, right, to capture the solar energy, but they've been dyed a certain color and using a certain dye to be able to absorb the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And it does that by producing, well, maybe we won't get too technical, but that creates an energy which is then transferred to an inexpensive material.
Right. So for those of you who understood that, applause to you. For those of you who didn't, that's okay. Basically, if you think of a solar panel, it absorbs the sunlight and it creates energy. But now it's being made in a really, really small way so that it can be made into cloth.
Mm.
All right. And it's shaped into long fibers that harvest light energy. And it uses fiber-shaped, okay, ready everyone? Let's say it together.
Triboelectric nanogenerators.
Tribal electric nanogenerators to harvest electrostatic charge made by normal movement. Okay, so we've got the dye-sensitized solar cells. If you think about tiny, 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 tiny solar panels that absorb sunlight and turn it into energy. Now we have tribal electric nanogenerators. These are things that can harvest electrostatic charge, right? So kind of energy that you create as you move. All right. And what is the third part of this triple threat or triple thread?
Well, it also uses fiber-shaped supercapacitors to store the energy in electrochemical form.
Okay. So we've got three parts to these fibers, right? So we've got the solar cells that absorb the light. We've got triboelectric nanogenerators that store or harvest, movement. And then we've got supercapacitors that store all the energy that is being harvested. Okay, that I can kind of understand. Okay, so I hope everybody's with us. Now, what have they been able to accomplish so far?
Well, currently the researchers have a roughly 225 square centimeter patch of this energy harvesting material.
Mm-hmm. Is that a big patch?
Not at all. It's not. Oh, yeah, it's about a meter, mm-hmm. 2 meters, 2 by 2 meters.
All right.
So 225, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, not so enough to be on mass production.
No, it would be like what we would see as a solar panel right now.
Yeah.
But, of course, this is the fabric.
Yeah, and it's only one, right? So right. You're not able to mass produce clothes from it
not
quite
yet.
Yet.
Right, no. Not yet.
Right, and right now, it's not quite where it needs to be.
Right, as far as texture, it's... they equate it to woven straw,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, there's some flexibility in that, but you don't really want to wear something
right.
that feels like woven
straw. Yeah, I mean, if you
straw.
Think about a straw hat, right? A
yeah.
straw hat, it's kind of soft,
mm-hmm.
but you're not going to be wanting to put that on and wear it on your body all
right.
the time. And you
no.
definitely can't exercise.
Right. That would be very uncomfortable, even harmful.
Itchy, actually.
Yeah.
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 All right. So... what are they hoping to do?
Well, they hope to get it down to the flexibility of common cloth.
Mm-hmm.
So from woven straw down to common cloth.
Okay.
And also their flexibility, because woven straw is not that flexible.
Mm-hmm.
It takes quite a bit of energy just to bend it and shape
mm-hmm.
it. But common cloth is very easy.
Right, yes. All right, so what are some of the applications here? What could this technology allow users to do?
To charge phones and wearable devices. It could also be used to make interactive garments.
Mm-hmm.
And they mention here a gown with LED lights,
mm-hmm.
so a dress that lights up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'd be great for fashion designers,
yeah.
you know, who want to take their fashion to the next level.
Right. And I'm sure we've seen, you know, science fiction movies about the future, whether it's Star Trek, Star Wars, or whatever, where you have these people wearing these amazing designs mm. that, you know, kind of light up and they're shiny and you're wondering like, whoa, is that going to be possible? Well, yeah, one day it's going to be possible. And I'm sure it's going to allow fashion designers to do a lot of interesting designs. And what else could the research do?
Well, not only will it help fashion, but it could also be very helpful for our health.
Mm-hmm.
It says the research could also prove useful for building flexible screens. Okay, so that's for our viewing pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Or designing heart and other health monitors. Because right now, even thinking about a heart rate monitor,
mm-hmm.
it's made of plastic,
right.
you know, and it's very obtrusive.
Mm-hmm.
But this way, if you just use fabric, it's going to be a lot more comfortable.
Right, yeah. So going back to the flexible screens, if you think about, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever taken an x-ray, right? And, you know, you've got the film, right?
Mm.
So you've got that plastic film. It's kind of soft, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once you take that x-ray, it's exposed onto that film. It's kind of one-time use,
right.
right? But could you imagine if, you know, you've got this flexible screen, you can now have that image kind of in a way like a tablet computer projected onto that screen, that flexible screen somehow, and it could be reused,
mm.
right? And now you can roll it up, put it in your bag,
wow.
carry it around with you. So imagine if, like, your tablet or your laptop were just as light as a piece of plastic.
Mm.
Right, mm-hmm. And then as Amanda was saying about the heart and health monitors, right? You can just carry that with you, and you can, you know, keep track of your health. But there's a lot of work they need to do before they can get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do they need to do? They mentioned three things here.
Right, and the first one is, like we mentioned, getting the fiber thinner so that it's more flexible and not, you know, bulky in any way and
mm-hmm.
comfortable.
Right. Okay, so we don't want to be wearing straw on our bodies.
Right.
We want to be wearing something that feels like cloth. All right, what else?
To improve the durability or robustness so that they can last longer.
Why is that important?
Well, you want it to last for as long as possible.
Right.
So it doesn't break easily.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, right?
I mean, if you're going to be wearing it,
mm-hmm.
it's going to need to be able to withstand a
mm-hmm.
lot of wear and tear.
Right.
Also, you know, can you wash it?
Yeah.
Right? That's a huge you know, for people like Linda who are constantly exercising, you're sweating all the time, and if you can't wash it, it's going to start smelling. You don't want smelly technology on your body.
Nope.
No way. All right, and what is the last thing?
And the last one is continuing to improve the performance.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it works, but they want to make sure that it works consistently and works well.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So what do you guys think about this technology? Do you think this is something that has practical use? Would you guys want some of this technology?
I mean, it sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as exercising, you know, my phone, well, I use my phone, you know, to track like how far I biked or mm-hmm. how, you know, high I biked. And that actually takes a lot of battery power.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So either have to go on a full, you know, when it's fully charged, or, you know, take a power bank, you know,
mm-hmm.
the power packs. But then, yeah, it adds more weight, you know, and I want as less weight as possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it'd be really nice to just have that in my clothing, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
and be able to use solar energy and, you know, motion from my movement. So it'd be really convenient. Yeah. And I wouldn't have to worry about running out of, you know, cell phone battery power.
And needing to kind of look for the nearest outlet.
Yeah. Or
yeah.
just, in my case, yeah, I would just, oh, can't record it anymore.
Right.
Just shut down the phone.
And I mean, that would be the perfect example because you're riding, so you're moving, so you're creating energy that way, and you're outside, so the sun is out, and, you know, you can be absorbing the sun energy as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, what about you, Amanda?
I think it's fascinating to think that you can take the energy that we are creating in our bodies
mm-hmm.
and convert it to something that we can use in our technology.
Right.
So even, I mean, I don't know if it would work so well, you know, just doing your normal office job,
mm-hmm.
you know, you would be, I think, definitely converting some energy,
right.
you know, some movement to energy, hopefully, yeah. if you're getting up from your desk
right.
a few times, and just being able to convert that, let's say, onto my phone or in other ways, I think that would be actually a really good way to recycle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah, as you were talking, I just had this funny picture of, you know, someone just like jogging in place or running up and down just because they ran out of battery power and they're trying to charge
yeah,
their phone.
That would be motivation to get up and move, you know,
right.
to
so,
exercise.
Hey, this could improve our health as well. Why not? All right. Could you think of some other applications of this technology that is not mentioned in this article?
Well, before you get to that, I can think of maybe things that side effects mm. or just things to keep in mind, you
like
know,
what?
Negative stuff. Just like we're not quite sure of the negative side effects of nanotechnology,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's very on a very, very small level. Like the clothes that are made from this technology, like after wearing it, you know, because it gets absorbed
right.
into our skin,
right.
and
could
sweat,
it emit radiation,
right? Or could it have some possible, you know, harmful effects?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, yeah.
It's true. I mean, with any kind of new technology, there's always that aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
right? When cell phones or smartphones came out, people started wondering, you know, how was it going to affect our health,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's definitely something to consider,
mm-hmm.
right? So, yeah, good point. Now, what about what I was asking about earlier about other applications for this new technology?
Well, it just makes me think, can you do it with other materials,
mm-hmm.
not just fabric?
Mm.
For example, you know, of course, we cause a lot of motion just through walking on our shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So could
mm-hmm.
you know, use it in soles,
mm-hmm.
you know, to because I think there is a lot of friction there, right?
Right.
And so if you could convert that into energy, so it wouldn't just stay with fabrics, but mm-hmm. into other materials
right,
as well.
Like rubber or leather,
right.
things like that.
Yeah.
What about you, Linda? Can you think of some other applications here?
Nothing comes to mind right now, but I'm sure, you know, there are a lot of other applications it can be used for. Or just, you know, anything that uses motion, you know,
mm-hmm.
That to be able to harvest that energy.
Right.
Because we always need, like, power, you know, to battery,
yeah.
To power our
right.
mobile devices.
Yeah. Could you imagine if, like, they were able to, well, I mean, they could probably make curtains, right,
uh-huh.
out of that, and then just hang it in the windows, and that can create energy. But could you imagine if they could get it to the point where they can put this technology in, like, paint? And then you could, like, paint a building, and then that would just absorb the sun as
mm-hmm,
it was just,
yeah.
you know. And I think there's just, if you guys use that idea, I want commission.
You want a patent.
I want a part. All right. Well, there's a lot of interesting things to think about. You know, as the world changes, as new technology comes out, it's good to keep up to date. And that's why we like to share these articles with you, because we want you to be aware of what is coming out and what people are creating and how the world might be changing in the near future. All right. So stick with us and continue to read and study with us, because your English will not only improve, but you'll also get a window on the world, and you'll also get to see a little bit of what's happening out there. All right. Well, we have one more day left in our newsworthy clips. So please do come back tomorrow and join us as we talk about Snapchat. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.